This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Okay, Nick, this is my fault. I should have told you that we have a specific song for the opening of Hour 2 and
Which
Hour
is?
3. It's the DX song, and since...
DX theme. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So can we...
XO, give it to you. Go give it to you. XO, give it.
DMX.
Oh, I thought you were talking... Oh,
let's try it again.
I thought that's what we were talking about.
Just from a...
What?
Just in case people are tuning around, running around listening to us, like, wait a minute, what happened? All right, so let's try it again. Let's restart the top.
That sounds just like X right there, too.
Yeah. You sounded pretty good.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two. That's how you're supposed to do it. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page, find The Blitz, click like. You are good to go. There is also Twitter. And a whole bunch of them here. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At Booker T 5X. Five times. I know what that
five
means.
Five times, baby. Five.
At Brad Gilmore. Right. At the producer, Nick. At Degenerates 975. And then you can text the show, 713-780-3776. Or watch us on Twitch.
There we are. Look at that.
Boom.
There you go.
You get the gold star for that one.
So
the DX theme is such a great theme. Such a great way to kick it off.
Yeah, that's been our long time hour number two thing.
So
we
great.
Also have an hour number three song. So just so you know, that's my fault because ordinarily I will blame the producer for everything.
Yeah.
But Nick asked me some questions today about what he needed to do, and I neglected to mention that. So. It's on me.
Sure. So, it's a song.
It's on me.
It's on you, baby. Said boy, yellow bees. Yeah.
It's much like Bill O'Brien. I have to coach better. We have to play better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all there is to it.
That is true.
We got to score more.
That is true. I mean, we got to win.
Hey, somebody asked you, were you still thinking about running for office?
That's my ultimate goal. I definitely was hindered in the process. I should say this time around, and I'm not going to sit and blame anybody or anything like that, but that is my ultimate goal, is to lead the city here in the city of Houston.
See, I at one point was going to run for mayor, and especially this time because I'm not real happy about some things that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, after discussing it with my lawyer, I think there's enough stuff in my past that I really don't think I want to make public. Plus, it's a pay cut. I don't want to take a pay cut.
Yeah. You know, but I think I was put here to serve. I say, you know, wrestling was definitely not my calling. It's just something that I've done, and I've done it very well. But I really think God put me here for something much bigger than professional wrestling. And I don't know what it is. I'm like in the Book of Eli right now, man. I'm just walking in that direction. Hopefully I'll make it to my destination before, you know, God take me. I just ask him to just let me finish my work.
I think that's pretty cool, because my reasons were different. I just wanted to fix some crap that I'm not happy about.
Fix some potholes.
Yeah. But no, I'll be behind you.
Hey, man.
I'll give you a few of my ideas.
I got a saying out there for all the listeners out there, and I don't want anybody out there to take my slogan, but we've been saying, you know, respect your elders for years, but we're in a different place right now. We're in a different time, and I say we got to respect our young people, because they are the ones that are going to be leading the future and taking care of all of this very, very soon.
It's a different take.
Yeah,
like
it is.
I like it.
You like that, don't you?
Well, I mean,
I don't know. All you suckers out there, don't steal my slogan.
That's what I had kids for. Right now, they're designated drivers, but they're going to have to take care of me when I'm old.
There you go.
So
exactly my point. Exactly. I got nine. I got 9 years old. They'll be nine in less than a week. And I already told them, y'all better get ready to get a job because y'all going to have to take care of the old man. This is a trade-off. This is a deal written in blood, you know? Yes.
That's what I tell them. Hey, first 18 years, that's on me. Everything after that's on you. And, you know, my last 18 years, you're going to take care of me.
Yeah, you got to look after.
It's got to come back. Yeah. It's got to come back.
It sounds like a good deal to me.
Yeah, you taking care of your old man?
I take care of him, man.
All right. I'm just
saying. He just turned 74. You know, I look after the old man.
I'm just checking. I'm just checking. That's all. I'm just checking.
You don't got to get hot about it.
I'm sensing a deeper story here that I'm not aware of.
You know what I mean? Brad's good people. I mean, he's a very, very, very responsible young man.
Well, the same thing.
I give props where props are due. Let's say that.
Well, you got my vote, Book.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're trying to get mine, but you got my vote and my endorsement.
All the young people in the city, man, that's why I win.
Nick will vote for you, too.
That's why I win, man. The young people here in the city of Houston, man, they love me. You know what I mean? Because I represent them. You know, it's a lot of guys that's, you know, gotten to my position that really don't think about the young youth that's coming up. But, you know, out there, you know, in the city, I run across them all the time, man. And, you know, whatever problems they got, they know they can come to me and talk to me about it. You know, I've gone and talked to little girls about pregnancy, no matter what. You know what I mean? I've gone into the prison system and talked to those young men and told them that, hey, you know, you got yourself here. And when you get out, you got to learn how to gain trust and earn trust all over again. Don't think anybody's going to trust. You're a thief. You know what I mean? So know that. It's like being an alcoholic, man. You're always going to be one. You're always going to have that broom sweeping up that dirt and trying to clean it up. So that's just my message to young people out there. And, hey, you know, that's what I do.
I always wanted to do a show from prison.
Oh, yeah. Like Johnny Cash
style. Yeah, like Johnny Cash style. Because I know we have a lot of listeners, especially over in that Beaumont unit.
Yeah.
Because we get letters from them and... It's like, man, I'd love to go do a show over there.
Man,
that'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. It ain't no joke, man. It ain't no joke being behind those walls, man. They need those letters, man. They need to be talked to and you know what? You know, I always say a pat on the back, it goes a very long way. I talked to Brad and young people about the saying that CEO told me when I was walking out of prison. He said, "I'll see you when you get back." Yeah, that's what he said. He said, "I'll see you." And I'm sure he told a whole lot of those young men that, and he probably saw a lot of those men. So he wasn't telling me anything. You know, he wasn't, you know, throwing nothing in my, he was saying what
he had seen
all the time. Yeah. But it was up to me to make him a liar. And I tell those young men and young women, hey, it's your job to not let that happen again.
713-780-ESPN. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 with Team Hall of Fame, Booker T and Brad Gilmore. They will be back at 9 o'clock tonight, so if you don't get enough of them here, you can catch them at 9 o'clock.
They ain't going to get enough.
Just give a little taste, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like a little warm-up. That's all good. And but no, I appreciate you guys filling in. It's AJ is off in Oregon drinking beer. And
that doesn't sound like him.
I mean, AJ loves his beer, you know, like Kavanaugh, you know, he loves beer, you know what I mean?
I like beer.
Oh, but he's really into, I mean, he was been to the craft beer scene long before most people were. And I have to admit, I've learned a ton about beer from him. I'm not as nuts about it as he is, but I've gotten to be almost as obnoxious about it.
Yeah. You like the ale?
I like stouts and porters. I like the heavier beers.
Yeah, yeah.
And preferably barrel aged. Yeah. And yeah, but I've kind of gotten to be.
what got me a second ago when you said that? What was the name of that one again? Barrel what?
Barrel aged.
When you said the barrel aged, Brad did like that, like he been drinking.
No, like I'm like no. You know what this was? You know what this was? This was. I have no idea what the hell y'all are talking about.
Exactly what I thought. But you played it off.
It was
very
cool.
Well.
But then you blew up my spot. You know what I'm saying? Nick was in there like, oh man, Brad must know a lot about his beer. And then Book was like, you know what? I'm not going to let him have this
one. But I saw it about the corner of my eye, and he actually act like he knew what he was listening to.
You know, barrel age.
Give him some
more. That's how you have to do this
fake it till
job.
You make
yeah,
it.
I mean, it's if you're going to be wrong with conviction. That's the thing.
So you got to do is this.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you just nod like, hey, I know exactly what he's talking about. Yeah, that's believe me, that, there are many times when...
That's what he did.
That's exactly what I did.
That's exactly what he did.
I know nothing about beer, caught him, you know, liquor, or anything.
I'm like, wait a minute.
But you could have let it go, Book. That's my point. You could have let it go. You could have let me live.
No,
you remember the Jay-Z song, Can I Live?
Look,
you could have let me live.
Brad, until you drink one beer, I'm not letting it go. Okay?
Well, you're going to be waiting.
Until you drink at least a smidgen of, just smell it. You know what I mean? I don't care, but just get close. Let your lips get close to it. You know what I mean? What the frost can touch, you know, something. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. I mean, 26 years old.
Yeah.
26 years. Have one for me, man, please.
I'm good. I'll pass.
Yeah. You're drinking when we go to the Spence fight. Yeah.
You guys.
You drink for the both of us.
You think we've got hookups in Vegas. L.A. is... Like, that is my town. I cannot wait to get back out there. I got so many friends I haven't seen in forever, and you know, we got to
go to Katana. Yeah, that's what we got to go. We got to go to Sunset. We got to go have some of the best sushi that you ever had in your life on Katana on Sunset Strip, man. And the view, is beautiful, I must say. Definitely we're going to have a good time.
Well, we got a road trip out to Santa Anita Park too.
I'm down.
That is you will get the VIP treatment there, I promise you.
Yeah. Is that what the ranch is? No, I'm just saying. That's another.
You better quit.
I'm just...
what the hell's going on with the weather, man? My phone keeps going off.
I know, mine over here, too.
It says rain starting in 77 minutes here. So, I don't know. Of course, this is like a giant coffin. You can't see out of this thing. So, I have no idea what the weather's like outside. All right, quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll take some more phone calls when we come back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. Booker T and Brad Gilmore, the Hall of Fame. Filling in. They'll also be doing their 9 o'clock show tonight, so yeah. Worked out really well. Want to jump on a couple more of these callers that want to talk to you?
Do it! Let's go now.
Let's go. My man Rocky's been waiting a minute. Rocky, welcome inside the Blitz. From where are you calling and what's your question?
Nashville, Tennessee, my man. How are y'all doing today?
We're doing good, man.
Right on. Good talk to you guys. I got a question for, I guess, all of you, really. Booker, I know that you get on the circuit out there, and you got to talk about work a lot. You talk about your school a lot. There's a lot of great things going on in your life. You got wrestling and everything. But what's something that if you got to talk about whatever you wanted to talk about and have people just shoot the breeze with you, what would it be?
We'd be talking about golf all day long. Seriously. That's what we'd be talking about. I'm a huge golf fan. I'm a golf nut. Anytime I can get on the links, you know, I'm out there. I love what these young guys are doing right now. You know, the overseas golfers, man, they're burning it up right now as well. So that's probably, you know, I could have a whole show based around golf. You know, I'm talking about the Masters going back probably 20 years. You know, me being a brother, I don't go too much further back than that. I just started. You know what I mean? But
you had to wait till you had some representation.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, you feel me? But that's what I'd be talking. I love the game of golf. What about you, Brett?
Yeah, it'd probably be basketball for me if we were talking sports or, you know, just – I also love talking about, you know, old late-night television. Like, I could talk about Johnny Carson and stuff like that for days on end. Poker is another one. That's what Fred and I got in trouble for, was talking about poker on the plane.
Yeah.
But what about you, Fred?
For me, it's pretty much just writing. And whether it's fiction or whether – I love to sit down and talk with people and bounce ideas off of them. And like some of the guys who are going to do my movie, you know, things that they've done before, just creative process, but mostly I could talk fiction all day.
You know, I like talking, like you say, fiction. I love watching interrogations. It's just one interrogation, man. It's very intriguing. It's this guy by the name of Colonel Russell Williams. He's a colonel in the CFB Trenton military in Canada. And man, you watch this interrogation. He ended up killing a couple of people, ended up doing some shady sexual things as well.
Sounds like a lovely guy.
No, but they broke him down and he confessed into the world on camera. The police put it out there. But I could sit and talk about and break down stuff like that. I mean, Bundy, all the serial. I mean, stuff like that.
I'm so
off in the, you know, because the brain is a very, very delicate instrument. One day it could be working just fine, and the next day it could be something totally different. Just like this colonel, he had a perfect life. Perfect life. Had never been in trouble ever before, and find himself, you know, in an interrogation room, getting ready to go to prison for the rest of his life. Very, very intriguing stuff. So, yeah, I could talk about a whole kind of stuff, a whole lot of stuff, man. That's me.
Yeah, I like that stuff too. I mean, I fell down the rabbit hole the other day and rewatched the American Crime Story O.J. Simpson thing on Netflix.
OJ,
I binged it.
OJ.
And then I've just been cracking up at all of his, like, your Twitter videos. You know, he put out a video, I think today, talking about, you know, paying the NFL players more. He's picking fantasy football.
Well, he loves his fantasy football.
Brother's lost his mind. You know what I mean? He's lost his mind.
Yeah, but it's so much.
Remember we saw that video of him on the golf course? And he was acting like TMZ just rolled up on him. And he was talking about, did you see this one? He was talking about Michael Jackson. So, like, it was after that whole Michael Jackson controversy or whatever. So, he posts this on his Twitter. He's on the golf course, and somebody comes up to him. He's like, hey, OJ, you know, what do you think about Michael? And he goes on the story about Michael Jackson. And he's like, you know, I actually – and he reaches into his golf bag and pulls out a framed photo of him and Michael Jackson. He's such a great guy. I love Michael. And then he puts the thing down. He goes, y'all take care, and then just drives off and lets the camera stay there.
I tell you.
He's crazy.
OJ Simpson should, you know, seem like that's the guy that would have just took a permanent vacation. You know, after getting away with what he got away with, he seemed like he would have taken a permanent vacation. But I tell you, that's the world that we live in right now. Twitter, Instagram, social media. People still want to be out there, and they'll do it no at the cost of, you know, whatever. It makes no sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel weird about following him. It doesn't mean I won't go check his Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't follow the guy.
There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way. But a lot of people
Brad
do.
Follows him.
I don't follow him. I check in on him. I check in on him. I got to see what the juice is posting. You know what I mean?
If he starts talking about, here's how I actually lopped their heads off, I'll probably follow him.
Hey,
the thing is, he started his Twitter account on the anniversary.
I read that book.
If I did it, it was a really strange book.
The person next to him that, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, you remember, I was showing this to Booker. Did you ever see the thing that he did they released like last year? It was the Lost Confession, they called it. It was that interview with Judith Regan about the murders. Did you ever see that?
Mm-mm.
It's on YouTube, and he literally talks about, you know, the hypothetical, and he goes into the hypothetical of what happened that night. I mean, it's some of the craziest stuff you'll ever see.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you, O.J. Simpson, aside of Gail Sayers, for me as a young African-American kid coming up, I looked up to O.J. Simpson, man. That guy was so great on the field. You know, what he did in Buffalo was, man, it was amazing.
2,000 yards in a 14-game season.
Yeah. It was amazing what O.J. Simpson did with that team, with the line that he had in front of him. He pretty much did it all on his own. I wouldn't say all, but the bulk of it, the majority, he went out there and did. As well as, you know, you'll see, I mean, the guy was – He was praised for what he did, and then for a starter to rise so high and then fall so low, man. That's an example there. There again, give this man a go piece. You know what I mean, and send him on his way. He has a story to tell. That's one of those deals right there. I mean, to go that high up and fall that far, man. When he looks in the mirror, he got to feel a certain way about himself. He has to.
And I loved him as Norberg, too. I snuck that one in.
There we go, Nick. Yeah.
I liked him in Airplane, but myself, yeah.
I liked Kareem in Airplane.
Yeah.
Kareem was the star in Airplane.
Just say it.
Tell your old man to drag Walton and Lanier up and down the court for 48 minutes.
I think Fred's ahead now.
Yeah, right.
I think he's winning this one.
Let's grab one more.
All right, let's go to, I guess that's MN? Amen. Welcome inside the Blitz. From where are you calling, and what's your question?
My name is Emin, and I'm calling from Massachusetts. And my question is for Booker T. What was the reason? Hello?
No, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Booker. I'm a big fan. My question is, what was the reason that you and Goldust Floyd up in February of 2003 because I felt like you guys had more of a run left in you as a tag team.
Yeah, man. Of course, we had more left in us as a tag team, but you know that was a novelty thing. You know, no one expected Goldust and Booker T to last no more than probably a month. It was just something that they were experimenting with. But myself is I've always been the type to, no matter what I get. And I try to make sure young people try to think that same way. No matter what you get, you make it the best you possibly can. It may not be anything in the beginning, but you could turn it into something and people would look at it the way you display it. And that's what we did with Goldust and Booker T, the perfect odd couple. But I tell you, we went out and performed to the best of our abilities every week. And then when it was over with, I remember the night we split up. Excuse me, Goldust and I, we had to go out in the ring and I had to go on and, move on to bigger and better things because, championships was in my future. But I remember looking out in the audience and I talked to my students about this. When you're working in that setting, you either want to make people, really mad. You want to make them, feel a certain way. And that night I saw tears coming out of people's eyes, and I was like, wow, man, we really did something special. When you can make someone cry, they really are connected, and that's what Goldie and I did, and we did it very well. I coined the phrase Goldie. Now everybody call Goldie Goldie, but that's what moments are really and truly all about. And Goldust and Booker T definitely was a moment. Yeah.
And you talk about being an entertainer, but that's the kind of thing that you're trying to get across. And when it works, it's just like when you do a good radio show. When it works, it's kind of like, damn.
Yeah, yeah.
It felt good.
Yeah. All you do, man, is you just let it simmer. And then once it simmer a little bit, you just stir it all up.
And one of these days, I hope I'll do a good enough radio show that I'll feel like...
Like stirring it all up.
Yeah. All right, quick break. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. He'll be back next Monday. Booker T. Brad G. filling in. I'm having fun with this.
Oh, I'm enjoying it. I'm also enjoying that Red Hot Chili Peppers playing a little bit back there, man.
Yeah, this is another thing that I messed up on. So I'm not afraid to admit that sometimes I suck. But I didn't tell them today's Local Music Tuesday, and we have a whole bunch of local bands that we play. And that's that, again, on me is Nick asked.
Yeah.
And, I was too distracted to answer correctly. So a big fail for me today. I'm getting an F no matter how the show turns out.
We'll make up for it later, though. We'll make up for it. And it's always good to support our local music. That's something that we do all the time is support our local artists here in the city, man, because we got so many great artists here in the city that's untapped.
And we work with, support local music. Shout out to Henry. Yeah. People who work with us at Reality Wrestling. So we're always trying to shout it out, man.
Yeah, so just so you know, for your, you can tell Jerry or whoever's running your board, that we've got a whole thing of just local bands, and they send in their music, and then usually what we do, and it's a lot of work too, so I don't feel bad for not telling you, but Aaron will tweet out the name of the song and the artist so that if people want to go and check them out and buy their music, they can.
So
if you're a local band that wants to have your songs played on Tuesdays, not this Tuesday, but any other Tuesday, just email them to Aaron, and he'll put them in the rotation.
But they got to be good songs, okay?
They got to be jammed.
Don't send in any garbage, okay?
Trash.
Make sure you send some good songs because, we're gonna vet these songs, okay?
We got to have all killer, no filler.
I'm talking about chips with dip.
With the dip, man.
You know what I mean?
You can't just have one without the other.
It's
true.
we've been fortunate that we've gotten some really good music. But like the last couple times I've gone to concerts and heard, you know, one of the opening acts was a local band and they were really good. So I had Aaron reach out to them to get some of their stuff.
Yeah.
So, but for the most part, people just send it in, and we've gotten a great mix, man. There's country. There's some really good.
I love country, man. I love country. Yeah. Randy Travis, man. I'm old.
It's the only country song he knows. Is "I'm Gonna Love You Forever and Ever" by Randy Travis.
And ever, amen. Man, that's just that tune right there, man. That's just that. I mean, it's got a certain twang to it. That's what
every country song has a twang to it. Come on,
kind of what makes it country.
No, but Travis, man, Travis, I would tell you, man, top billing, Travis, man, an actor, can do it all, brother, can do it all, you know, forever and ever, man. I mean, just to put those lyrics together, boy, was bad.
He has some bars, man.
Boy was bad.
Oh, I feel you.
It's the real boy.
I like it.
I had a friend that wanted me to front his country band one time because I can do a really good country voice, but it's me imitating a country singer.
Right.
Like Garth Brooks.
Yeah, I can do like that. I can do Garth Brooks just like, but it's me doing an impression. It's the same thing. I do the same thing with Tom Petty. I do a really mean Petty, but it's an impression.
Love Tom Petty.
And yeah, so I kind of felt weird about doing country because, and plus I'm a 80s hairbound guy. I mean,
Who's your top three?
Guns N' Roses.
Oh man,
okay, there you go.
The original Van Halen.
Okay, no, and Sammy Hagar.
I mean, I like Sammy, but and Queen.
Oh,
in no particular order.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
When it's funny that all these people have rediscovered Queen, and it was.
I like Axl, man. That boy Axl. Where do we go now? Where do we go now? I
just love that. You right sound there. Just like him. If I close my eyes.
I used to love that right there, man. Where do we go? Where do we go now? I used to love that, man.
It's funny because as a songwriter, I kind of felt like it. They actually got to that part of the song and they didn't know where to go with it.
Right.
And that's what he was doing.
That's what you're saying. Where do we go?
Yeah.
He probably did that when they were jamming.
Yeah.
When he started going back into the. I used to love that, man. I mean, Axl was bad, man. No boy's bad. Guns N' Roses. Yeah. Yeah.
So, what kind of TV are you guys into? I mean, you Game of Thrones guys, you Netflix, Prime, you on all that stuff? Or?
Man, I got it all. You know, I was watching this show last night with Russell Crowe. And he plays Roger Ailes. It's called The Loudest Voice in the Room. Have you heard of this?
I've heard of it. Yeah.
It's fantastic. I mean, it's not even like, you know, there's political stuff in it, right? I mean, they have their biases or whatever, but that's not even the thing. Like Russell Crowe,
he's a good actor.
But he disappears.
Yeah,
he looks just like at Roger Ailes.
Yeah,
it's freaky.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been watching that, and I love like Curb Your Enthusiasm and all that stuff. So.
You know, I'm working too much, man. I mean, I love the Game of Thrones, of course, but everybody does.
I didn't like that last season, though.
That's what everyone said. I've never seen the show, so
I enjoyed it. I thought it was better than most people did.
Everybody's going to complain about something, though. You know, I mean, the show could have been the greatest ending of them all. But with social media today, you're going to find someone who didn't like it. I mean, am I right or wrong about that?
Well, no. I mean, you're obviously right, but I think the issue with the last season of Game of Thrones is everyone who invested all those years into it, they thought that they had the best ending. You know what I mean? They already thought how they wanted the show to end in their head, and the actual ending is never going to be better than the ending that the fan had in his head.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm in the wrestling business, okay? Yeah. Come on. I'm serious.
Yeah, no, right. and we know.
No, that's what I compare it to, because no matter what the ending is, you know, on social media, we get ripped every week. No matter how the show is written, we get ripped. Every week, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, there's the old saying that I heard from Sean Waltman about wrestling fans is you could give a wrestling fan $1 million and he'd be mad that it wasn't in singles.
That's true, too. Yeah, that's why I love Sean Waltman. But
I kind of understand it a little bit because you want people to have that kind of passion about it and care that much about it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think the problem is most people are like, well, I want it to end the way I want it to end, mm-hmm. as opposed to appreciating what the artist does and what the writers do. And sometimes I think, you know, that it's like, well, I wanted it to end this way, so therefore it's no good. But I also like that people are that passionate about it. You know, and I've had people complain to me about the ending of my book, and it's, but they cared so much about certain characters that they wanted it to end a certain way. And I get that, and I'm glad that they care, but you know, they also they can be pretty vocal.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I've always like likened it to the Seinfeld finale. Like that's like one of the most critically panned or panned by all the fans. Like, oh, I hated how Seinfeld ended. And it's like when you go back and you watch it, it's actually not a bad show. It just wasn't the ending that you wanted.
Right.
It wasn't the show that you already wrote in your head of how you saw the four characters coming to a conclusion.
I mean, 8 seasons, man. I mean, that's a long time. Those guys had a hell of a run. And I'm sure all those guys were tired. I'm sure they were ready to move on to other stuff. I'm sure that I mean, making a whole lot of money, of course. But when you get locked in a role like that, I can only imagine, you know, it's like me when I won the heavyweight championship. I couldn't wait to lose it. I swear, because it was nothing but work. It was work, yeah. work. And these guys been working like a soap opera, you know, for the last 8 seasons. That's a pretty long time, man. So, hey, big ups.
Yeah. I binge-watched a show thanks to some suggestions from some of our great listeners called The Boys on Amazon Prime.
Oh, is that the superhero show?
Yes, it is. It's a totally different look at superheroes.
Right.
I highly recommend it. It's very funny. It's very clever. It's well done. There's only 8 episodes, and I can't wait for season 2. I was blown away by it.
So what's the take on it?
What's the premise?
Is it like, I've seen the preview, but I'm not exactly sure like what it's actually about.
There is a group of superheroes that are run by a corporation, and all of them they're basically treating them like they're movie stars, and so how what kind of response they're getting on social media and stuff like this. But it turns out they're all a bunch of turds. And so there's
you mean like movie stars?
Yeah. And that's the thing, that they're not really heroes. They're being made out to be heroes, and there's all kinds of twists and turns to it. And anything beyond that is going to give away some plot points.
Yeah.
So, but it turns out that they're not such good guys, and it also kind of makes a statement on corporate America and Hollywood, for that matter, and things like that, and
how they create the stars.
Yeah,
and a lot of these people aren't really, you know, what they're being portrayed as on television. Yeah,
and
in movies.
Yeah, and drug use and things like that. And it's really well done, and it's got some actors you'll recognize. I don't know if you guys ever saw Banshee, which is one of my all-time favorite shows. But Anthony Starr, who played the sheriff, he plays one of the superheroes in it. I didn't even recognize him because he looks so different. But he's in it. Elizabeth Shue is in it.
Back to the Future.
Yeah. And I can't remember the guy who plays the Australian, but Simon Pegg has a little role in it. So there's a lot of good actors in there. And it's one of the few shows that I've watched recently where I'm like, wow, this is different. This is clever. I'm in.
I watch a lot of First 48.
You like the real stuff. What do you say? No bread.
No bread, no water, just meat.
Just meat.
And I like watching, real life, you know, stuff that's going on, just because I really like to see what's going on out there in the world. Just say, for instance, we just had this shooting here over the last couple of days, mm-hmm. you know, and you wonder what drives people. You wonder what goes through their mind to make them go and get an AK-47 and shoot in a crowd where it's kids. It, that kind of stuff, yeah. You know, I'm trying to figure out, what's going on in the world. But to be able to entertain myself and sit back and take myself away from it like you guys and, you know, check out shows like this is cool. But, man, right now the world seems like it's on fire. I've never seen. I've been around a long time, but I've never seen the world like it is right now. It is on fire all over, and I'm just wondering what is, you know, Fred, you and I, we're the same age. What is it going to take to put a fire out like that? What do you think? I mean, we sit here, you and I, we get along. You and I, Brad. I mean, we get along, and I'm just wondering what is it going to take to put out a fire that we're going through right now in America.
Well, there's so many directions I could go with this, and I think it to me it all starts with we've got to stop being. Yeah, you know, we've got to get away from a world where you're either this or that, and there's no in between.
Yeah.
Because the bottom line, all of us in life want the same things. We want success. We want our families to be happy. We want everybody to be healthy. We want to be able to afford to go to the doctor. And yeah, that there's every one of us has something in common, and we got to start finding the things that we all have in common and quit focusing on being divisive. And if we start with that, then we can maybe start figuring out why people have what makes a person think that way that'll make them go do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And because if we can understand it before it happens, then we can actually do something. You know, but I don't know how to get there.
But the thing is, a lot of them, they're really young kids. They're young people. You know what I mean? Seem like when you're young, seem like you got so much more life to live. I couldn't wait to get in the club. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? And party all night long. And these kids these days, man, that's the last thing that they're thinking about. So I was just wondering, man, we got to do something.
All right. We are going to take a quick break. We come back. We'll have the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. All right, we're going to try something different with the listener appreciation giveaway. First, I'll do the read here. It's that time of year again where we want to thank you, our loyal listeners, at our 2019 Listener Appreciation Party. Join the broadcast, editorial, and management team of ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap. I like those SportsMap guys. For an evening of food from Big City Wings and drinks provided by Coors Light at the home of Gal Media, Thursday, August 15th at 6:30 p.m., you're going to win a pair of tickets, and you get to meet and have up-close conversations with all of our ESPN 97.5 on-air personalities. You get a behind-the-scenes look at where and how your favorite shows and videos are made. The only way to get an invite is to listen and win. So make sure to keep listening all week. You must be 21 plus to attend. This is invitation only. Here's what we want you to do. We want you to tweet at ESPN 975 why you deserve the tickets over everybody else. You got 10 minutes to do it. Nick's going to pick the four best, and then we're going to let the people vote on it. I heard Patrick Creighton do this the other night, so I think it's kind of a cool way to do it. So maybe the three best, we'll see, but why you deserve the tickets more than anyone else.
I heard last year this listener appreciation party was a bit crazy.
Oh, it was nuts. We can't do it as big as we did last year. We had too many people, but it was fun, and we all got really drunk and a little bit stoned.
I'll be there. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. Jeweler Gem of the Day.
And that are the dulcet tones of one A.J. Hoffman.
I thought that was.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That is the song that is sweeping the country. Children all over the city sing along with the Gem of the Day song.
Gem of the Day.
It's that big. So let's say you were a teacher and you're struggling a little bit. You want to make some extra money. You would join a sugar daddy site, apparently.
Yeah.
Called Seeking Arrangement. And apparently they've got more than 10,000 American teachers use sugar daddies due to their low teaching salaries.
That's a shame, too. That really is a shame.
It is a shame. Yeah. But interestingly enough, 999 of them come from Florida. Because
that's not shocking at all.
No. But they rank fourth in the nation in terms of teacher sugar babies. Hey, I mean, the other ones, this all makes sense in terms of the states. California's first, New York second, Texas third. Florida would be fourth. Those are the biggest states for the most part. So
right, so it makes sense.
So Texas is third, though. 1,302 Texas teachers out there are on this Seeking Arrangement website. Now, I'm wondering, and this is just purely hypothetical, okay? Would you be supporting education if you sought out one of these teachers and sugar daddied for her?
Well, you know, that's the old argument about going to the strip club, right? Is the tips help the scholarships for the pretty young women to better themselves in higher education?
That was a saying back today, scholarship, man. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So I guess if you look at it through that lens, it could be. It's kind of more of a commentary on, you know, how poorly we pay people who are so important. You know what I mean? Teachers, that's everything, really. You know, Booker, you were talking about the youth, and you mean, you're talking about what you pay just for your kids to go to school.
Look, man, it was a song back in the day called Hot for Teacher. You know what I mean? These teachers, man, a lot of them, they looking hot, man, and it's money out there to be made.
You sound like you're behind this idea.
No, what I'm saying, I'm like Fred. These teachers, the money that they make, the salaries that they make, they have to subsidize their income somehow. And I'm saying this, I'm not against it or anything like that. If a man want to help a woman out, get through school, you know, help her even, you know, help educate herself a little bit. Hey, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it, Brad?
No, I mean, to each his own, I guess. But so 1,302 people in Texas, teachers in Texas. Now, are these all female? Or is there a mix there?
No, these are females. Wait a minute. Wanted to start another website for males to do that.
I'm just asking.
But no, this is a, basically it's a website where young ladies, and it's not all teachers, by the way. This is just, this website allows young ladies to hook up with, I would say, well, gentlemen with money.
Yeah, yeah.
To kind of be their sugar daddy, buy them things. Take them out to dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure sex is part of it, even though...
Maybe. We don't know that.
Dude, I'm not shelling out 10 grand to some... Okay, anyway. So I'm pretty sure that there is sex going on as part of this.
Wait, now we speculate. We cannot speculate.
I'm not judging in any way, shape, or form.
No, but I'm just saying we can't speculate in a situation like this. These could be older men. These could be men, you know, well...
Just want some company.
Well past their prime. They just want some company. Just want somebody to be around, some companionship. You know what I mean? Go out to the coffee shop with... Take a nice, friendly, brisk walk. You know what I mean? Something like... I'm just saying, Fred. I'm just saying... We got to keep an open mind about stuff like this. We just can't go straight into the gutter, Brad.
Why not? I live in the gutter.
Well, I mean, when you hear sugar daddy, you know, it does have certain implications. Like when you go out to a restaurant. No. Well, hold on. When you go out to a restaurant, you see a steak on the menu and it's $75. You know, you order the steak. You know you're going to at least pay that $75. But then when you get the bill, there's this little line that says gratuity. See, now, you don't have to pay that gratuity, but sometimes it just comes with the steak.
My thing is this, man. When I was a young kid, you know what I mean, and I used to go to the clubs, you know, because I've been going for a long time. Since I was about 17 years old. And I would see the old guy over in the corner posted up. And he would be probably 60, you know, 58-ish, you know. And then he'd have a young honey on his arm. He might have two or three of them, you know what I mean? And they all look good. You understand what I'm saying? And I always used to say, man, how does this old guy get all these women around him? It's because, you know, the brother got a lot of cash. You know what I mean? He's got a lot of money and he's got a lot of prestige. Everybody in the club know him. That's why he's posted up over there in the VIP. Now,
his name was Dolomite, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. Of course, these women, they ain't hanging around him just because he's the most interesting man in the world. Okay? No. They know they're going to get something out of it. But when you establish like that, you're not married. You know, why can't you go out and play like that and spend your money like that if that's the way you want
to
spend it?
But let me bring this back to the story, though. So are teachers doing this to supplement some of their income?
They're just doing it to get paid. I mean, he just said it's not just teachers, it's young honeys.
Well, I know, but I want to know about, like, teachers. Do you think that this is like their way? You know, like, back in the day, all the boys, they hopped on the Lloyd's of London policies, right? You know, to insure all these things. Is this, like, something that's going on in the teachers group? Are they talking about it, you know, and they're saying, hey, you know how you can kind of get your groceries paid for, get your car note done, get your shopping taken care of for school? You can hop on this, and then you can save all that income that you're bringing up.
I think it's possible. I think they're probably talking a little bit and saying, hey, man, I'm on this site and, you know, I got this old guy and he's like what Booker sees, some 70-year-old who just wants to walk in the park with me and hold my hand and talk to me.
A brisk walk.
And feel better. Yeah, a brisk. Well, he's 75.
Yeah, he can't take that brisk of a walk, Book.
Yeah, that's a hip breaker if he goes too fast. So, yeah.
Then a hip replacement.
I'm sure. But then Yeah. Okay. Here's another positive to this. I'm not against this in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
My main question was, if I actually were to, you know, not me, but someone like you,
yeah.
You know, like my age and my, you know, situation,
were to
get onto the website and,
well, you got some extra spending cash,
and support one of these young ladies, would I not be supporting education?
I think that you would be. I mean, once again, to go back to the club analogy, you know, throw her a scholarship.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Scholarship,
and,
man.
You know, and all I would ask in return is like a Wonder Woman outfit, and you may be a trapeze, and never mind. But you know what? Though? I think it's better that they're doing this than showing up in another sex.
Exactly my point. I mean,
don't have sex with your students.
Yeah,
have sex with old men.
I like it.
There's a my bumper sticker. Yeah,
there you go. That might be a number one seller right there.
Oh man. Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I got to tell you about Lawyer Dave, who I was hoping he was going to be able to call in today because I know that Brad knows Lawyer Dave.
I do know Mr. Mester Maker. He's been doing it for a very long time.
He has, and what he does is takes care of the Blitzers. If you've been in any kind of accident, whether it's a car accident, 18-wheeler, industrial, slip and fall, or if you've had a bad experience in the hospital with the doctor, Lawyer Dave takes care of you. That's what he does. And the great thing about Lawyer Dave, consultation's free. So if you have a legal question, you can give him a call, and he'll answer it for you. If he thinks he can help you, he'll tell you. If he thinks he can help you, then he'll tell you that too. If he can find you another lawyer, he'll do that. And it doesn't cost you anything. In fact, it doesn't cost you a dime until you win. And so if you've had any kind of accident, make the phone call, 713-626-8900, 713-626-8900, and find out if he can help you. Because if he can, guess what? I know what you're thinking. Oh, well, I can't even afford to go to a doctor. Well, if they take your case, they're going to set you up with that. He doesn't get a dime until you win. That's simple. Based right here in Houston, but practices all over Texas. 713-626-8900. You can also get him on Twitter at Lawyer Dave Law, or you can go to lawyerdave.com. Or if you just want to hit me up on Twitter to get his information, I'm always happy to do it. He's my lawyer. He should be your lawyer. Need a lawyer? Better dial Dave.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.